From the Rio Grande to the Sabine and the Canadian to the San Antonio. If it's in Texas, it's on Pratt on Texas. Now, here's your Texan-in-Chief, Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio on this Friday, the 24th of March, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis without a doter or management-controlled muzzle or leash. Our Lone Star story of the day, much from Austin, including the very real possibility that Republicans will bring back a crony tax break program that we happily ended last session. Our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services. DOT-regulated drivers, owner-operators, get right with the rules. Line up your required random drug testing program with Allied Compliance Services. You'll be a valued client, and they'll be on call to help when you need it. Reach them at AlliedCompliance.com. By the way, if you need drug or alcohol testing in your business or institution, they're the go-to source for that as well. Why gambling expansion to casinos in Texas is not something I've spent much time talking about this 88th legislative session. I've spent time talking about how much money Las Vegas Sands Corporation has given and to whom, but not too worried about the gambling issue, and I'll explain why, and it has to do with respect for the audience in your time and not favoring the tabloid style of so many others in the talk show business of trying to gin up things to get everybody excited when, well, there's not a reason to. Unemployment rate up slightly in Texas, but that's just because more people are moving here, apparently. Texas added over 64,000 jobs and leads the nation for 12 months straight in job creation. We've got the oil and gas rig count and much more ahead. Who, if anyone, in Lubbock County elected office, if anyone's been protecting the seedy game rooms over the last decade since the legislature gave counties the ability to regulate these things? I still ask, who, if anybody, is on the take? We don't know, but there's something really odd going on here. Despite the protestations of insiders, we had Commissioner Corley, who started on this years ago, on the show earlier this week, and we had Lubbock County Commissioner Jordan Rackley on the show talking about how bothered they are that all of a sudden these so-called Republicans, they don't want to get involved in this. And it's interesting. I want you to remember, the reason I mention that again is that the show is now podcast. If you miss those interviews, just go to PrattOnTexas.com, go to the podcast page, and you can listen to those shows from earlier this week and listen to them repeatedly. Hear what these people say. You can share them. You know, give people the link to people. Let them go listen as well. You can get a podcast of today's show and other interviews we put up as podcast extras at PrattOnTexas.com. As always, it is, my friends, a great day to be a Texan. A possible tornado and a whole bunch of strong winds did damage in Parker and Wise counties this morning out of Poolville, their tabernacle, which was an open-air wooden structure built in 1904, and it was moved to its current location in the 1920s, was blown down. They said they're going to rebuild it, and they're already raising money for it. People do funerals there. They do community gatherings, community barbecues. Looks like there was quite a bit of storm damage. I noticed several photos across Parker and Wise County in the Dallas Press. Abilene man accused of killing teen girl at a house party pleads guilty to deadly conduct and gets 10 years in prison. I guess that's a big sentence on a deadly conduct charge. The problem was this George Johnson fired his firearm into the crowd, I think, at this giant house party. Over 100 people were at, and it killed 19-year-old Megan Kirkland there in back in August of 2020. Plainview, that reported by KRBC, a Plainview man has pleaded guilty to $4 million in the Paycheck Protection Program fraud. This from the U.S. Attorney's Office. Andrew Travis Johnson, 58, pleaded guilty to three counts of bank fraud, one count of aggravated identity theft, and one count of engaging in monetary transactions in property derived from unlawful activity. He made got PPP loans for about $4 million, one on behalf of a real business that contract speech and occupational therapy services, one a real nonprofit that does community fundraisers and a fictitious entity, and apparently it was all fraud all the way around. That from the U.S. Attorney today. Jailer arrested, allegedly brought prohibited items into the Cass County Jail, KETX, reporting that Mark Thomas, a jailer there, so a deputy sheriff, was arrested on a felony warrant. He's been released on bond in East Texas. Edgewood ISD parent reports armed men on elementary school campus. This is really the only thing we're going to do that's effective, and that's being prepared yourself to be an anti-wimp and a real citizen and being armed, and more importantly, paying attention. Big story from KENS News 5 there in San Antonio out of Edgewood. The statement, the district sent out a statement saying police arrived in less than 40 seconds and apprehended the unidentified suspect before 3 p.m. He had a loaded shotgun. But here's the interesting part. Linda Marie Silva, a parent of a child, a youth at the school or child, said she called the cops. She said he was staring at the school. He was so fixated. I felt like I was put to a test to help the kids. She's a mother of a third grader there. That's third grader. While waiting in the pickup line, meaning not line for people driving pickups, but to pick up children, she noticed the man standing awkwardly as if leaning on something in an empty field near the back of the school. She said he was wearing a black shirt, black shorts, and a camo jacket. She said, I don't have a good feeling about this. And she has a concealed carry license, had her own firearm at the time, which all true Texans should, to protect others, the innocent. She said from where he was standing, the man had a clear path toward the school playground and looked as if he was about, now who knows whether he would have, but he looked like he was about to take off running toward the school. That's when she called police. And then more importantly, instead of standing around, they got there quick in this case, but generally it's, even with the best response, it's minutes away when seconds count. She took action. Did she get out and draw her weapon and cause the guy to shoot? No, she did something smart. She immediately moved her pickup truck near the back gate, blocking the man from getting further onto campus. With her 15-year-old daughter in the car with her, so she had the youth with her, waiting on the third grader, Silva said she was armed and ready to take the man down if he made one more move toward Roosevelt. I was ready, she told KNS5. Either we're going to go down together or one of us is going to go down, because I wasn't going to let him shoot towards the school. This is the kind of thing you're not going to see the media hype. They don't like it. The left hates this idea. But it's really the only way that these things will ever happen. And that's good people ever be stopped. Good, honest, law-abiding people being armed so frequently and in many places, and more importantly, actually, as we used to teach in the classes that Dr. Granberry and Engineer Granberry, husband and wife, used to teach, Skip and Darla, paying attention, being aware of your surroundings. And she took a real simple action. She just moved her pickup over to a place that would have blocked the person's ability to rush the playground area. And this is what we need more of. Again, it's the only thing that in reality, outside of all of the magical thinking people in the gun control movement and other things engage in, this is the only kind of thing that's going to really help. And that's more people paying attention who take the actions, the legitimate, proper actions. She called the cops. She then took some action, and you're armed and ready. That's praise to her. I mean, just fantastic. The Baker Hughes rotary rig count is out. The U.S. had a net gain again this week of 4 drilling rigs drilling for oil or gas, despite Democrat policies trying to wipe us out of the business. One of the oldest refineries in Texas is being closed. I read the whole story down in Houston. Even though we're short of gasoline and short of refining capacity, they're going to close it. Why? The ESG movement, big international company, I think out of Britain, and they're into this ESG stuff. Texas rig count was up by 1. We're at 372 drilling rigs, up 1 from last week in the Baker Hughes report. We've got a ton of news ahead right here on Pratt-On Texas.
More from the True Texan Studio after this.
Pratt-On Texas Listener Club member Tom from Wichita Falls wrote, I just returned from Costa Rica. I went there on your suggestion and cannot agree with you more. This was the best dental experience ever. I had a good bit of work done, and Dr. Zuniga was able to get it all done in one day. The amount of care and attention was unbelievable. From the work itself and the follow-up to make sure everything was great before I went home made this a great experience. While root canals and crowns are not fun, this was the way to do it, Tom says. Thank you for recommending Dr. Zuniga in Costa Rica. I certainly will be referring friends and family. Friends, you can learn more about Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and DentoCare, my dentist, by the way, by clicking the banner at prattontexas.com. Go to prattontexas.com. You'll see the banner with Dr. Zuniga's beautiful picture. Click on it, and you can read all about it. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
What happens if another party responsible for your injury doesn't step up to make your loss whole? How do you go about getting what you're owed for your loss? Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group can help get those responsible to actually accept and act on that responsibility. Ted Liggett does it every day with integrity, advocacy, and results. Call Ted Liggett, the heavy hitter, at 806-744-HURT or visit LiggettLawGroup.com. Don't be cheated. Call Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group.
On the construction job site, the ranch, or your own hacienda, skid steers can do a million jobs if you have the right attachment and when you need it. WestTexasAttachments.com can get that attachment to you quickly. They deliver. Renting or buying, West Texas Attachments can get you the attachment you need to get your job done. WestTexasAttachments.com. Go to WestTexasAttachments.com and see what skid steer attachments they have. Heck, you might get inspired for your next project.
You are in the right place at the right time for news and commentary of Texas from the right perspective. It's Robert Pratt with the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got the jobs report out and a lot of other things from the legislature and quite a few other headlines, including more on former President Trump's rally that he'll have in Waco tomorrow. We'll get to all of that and more. I want to start, though, right now with our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services, AlliedCompliance.com. Why bring back a crony tax break program in Texas? It looks like Republicans, leadership, including some local reps, are working hard, and the governor's for it, to bring back a program we got rid of. And they need to hear from you. I don't try to waste your time with ginning things up and telling you to call. I only tell you to call when it matters, and this matters. So you'll want to let your state rep know that you're opposed to bringing back a new local, a new program to replace that Chapter 313. Now, in the case of Abilene, it won't make any difference with Stan Lambert. I mean, he was elected to represent these people, and that's it. But Dustin Burroughs is listed as co-author on this deal, powerful member of the House. He's for it, and he needs to be dissuaded from that and more. The Texas Public Policy Foundation published earlier, or this last weekend, I guess Sunday. It's been up all week in the top two or three on their deal. I'm so honored. Texas Public Policy Foundation published my latest piece, Why Bring Back a Crony Tax Break Program in Texas? Calling business welfare or crony capitalism an economic development tool does not change what is happening in such transactions, nor does it make it better policy. In the 87th session of the Texas legislature in 2021, a wonderful thing happened. Chapter 313 of the Texas Tax Code was allowed to expire without lawmakers renewing it. The program allowed local school boards, which, by the way, always claim to be broke, to hand huge long-term school property tax breaks to businesses. I don't want to rehash all the problems of the program, but clearly it wasn't a good thing. It wasn't a good program, given that the respected free market Texas Public Policy Foundation was joined by left-wing groups in opposition to the renewal of it and a lot of other people, including me. In the 88th legislature, this one, House Speaker Dade Phelan and Calendars Committee Chairman Dustin Burroughs of Lubbock are leading the way to replace Chapter 313 with House Bill 5 by Representative Todd Hunter of Corpus Christi, which claims to create a, quote, temporary and limited competitive economic incentive, end quote, to attract big projects related to critical infrastructure, manufacturing, as well as national and state security and critical domestic supply chain support industries, according to reporting at the Texas Tribune. It's no surprise that businesses that are given an advantage over their competitors by politicians in the form of tax breaks want the program or something similar reestablished. It's also no surprise that many politicians want such restored because taking our money and handing it over to others buys them power, favors, and campaign donations. The question I have is, why do self-styled conservatives and free market advocates think it a good idea sport this form of crony capitalism. Wikipedia entries are not always trustworthy, but the definition found there of crony capitalism is correct. Crony capitalism, sometimes called cronyism, is an economic system in which businesses thrive not as a result of free enterprise, but rather as a return on money amassed through collusion between a business class and the political class. How is it good policy to give big school tax breaks to some companies while others are forced to carry an even heavier tax burden in the same jurisdictions to make up for the lost revenue to local school districts? That seems a case of robbing Peter to pay Paul, and worse, it punishes proven existing taxpayers and their businesses, the employers in your local community, to benefit speculative new entrants to their local markets. Many of whom, of course, end up not really employing very many people or going out of business or having failed plans. Texas already has a very large fund for business investment in the state, so why do local school districts need also make these deals? Why should they be making the deals? Quote, Texas has other mechanisms to grant publicly funded incentives to corporations as a means of attracting private sector investment, but the ability to reduce school property taxes under Chapter 313 has been considered particularly critical in luring capital-intensive projects such as factories because of Texas' relatively high property tax burden, wrote Bob Seckler in the Austin American-Statesman about the issue in December of last year. If it is true that high property taxes at local school districts make the business climate bad for attracting investment, then that is the problem. High local taxes, not a lack of tax breaks. Let me repeat that. If it's true that high property taxes at local school districts make the business climate bad for attracting investment, then that itself is the problem. High local taxes, not a lack of tax breaks. That's the problem, high taxes. Now, Representative Burroughs, for example, has a background in economics. Why is he backing this? Why pervert the market by allowing school boards to get out of having to live with the economic playing field they've created? Those boards have set the high property tax rates that we are told spoil local investment, so let them do without the investment. The loss is a direct consequence of the policies those boards adopt. Aside from shifting tax burdens onto other citizens and business in these jurisdictions, all we are doing with these tax break programs is removing a big incentive for local school boards to rein in spending and property taxes so that an attractive business climate is maintained. We don't need another Chapter 313, even if it is better than the old program by excluding windmill and solar energy projects. That's one of the conservatives' things now. Oh, well, we're going to get rid of those because, yeah, we know that's been a problem. Well, it's a problem all the way around. If a local school district's board sets its property taxes so high that it creates, by their own admission, a bad business climate, isn't the salute the problem then, the too high tax rate? I mean, that's hurting everybody, all the existing businesses, all the proven employers, everybody else. But no, they think, well, so what we've got to do is give a 10-year or longer tax break to some new business that comes into town, some of whom, by the way, under Chapter 313, employed, no more than a handful of people, sometimes two or three people long term. And they give them the tax break. Well, they're always broke, right? So what does that mean? All the other employers who actually employ people there and actually do business in that school district have to pay higher property taxes while this speculative new business gets a break for a very long time. It's just everything about it's wrong. The solution there is to lower your spending and have a more business-friendly climate in your school district. Then you'll have more investment. We need legislators willing to address a fix to the real problem of investment hindering high property taxes. It's so funny to hear them tell us we need this tax break program to come back because the high property taxes for school districts are a disincentive to business. If they admit that, then why can't we move to the problem, which is spending too darn much with everything new, everything's air-conditioned, everything's this, that, and the other that we didn't have before? What is it with these people? Why can't we just make a business climate? And if your district wants to spend so much that it's not favorable to business, then fine. They'll go to the neighboring district that does a better job. We need to phase out school district maintenance and operation taxes over a decade, as TPPF's plan can do. That's a real fix that lets businesses locate where market forces dictate instead of where they can find politicians ready to give them a special deal. And you folks in Lubbock need to contact Dustin Burrow's office. It's, I don't ask a lot, but you need to tell them we don't need this again. School board members are not economic prognosticators. They don't have any particular knowledge of knowing whether this or that thing's going to pay off or be a good investment or not. And worse, they just increase the already suffocating tax burden on the existing businesses. How is that good policy, even from an economic development perspective? Stop the reestablishment of Chapter 313 or similar.
Pratt returns after the break.
The name may be Specialty Trucks of Lubbock, but these guys have repeat customers across the country. Why? Because they save you serious money. Mike Crafton and Jason Duncan specialize in finding and reconditioning quality work trucks, including heavy-duty pickups, utility-bodied trucks, bucket trucks, and more. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock can get you the work truck you need and save you money. You can see inventory online at specialtytrucksoflubbock.com or request them to find the truck you need. Talk to Mike or Jason at specialtytrucksoflubbock.com.
Why does keeping up with the news have to be so hard? It's like sorting through a mountain of garbage. We're here to change all that. 21st Century Watch magazine. It's quarterly, conservative, and completely free. Call 903-561-7070 or go to 21stcenturywatch.com. We'll never sell your information, cancel anytime. Call 903-561-7070 or go to 21stcenturywatch.com for your free subscription.
If providing health insurance for yourself or your employees is costing more than you can afford, listen closely to this message.
I think one of the challenges that all small business owners are facing today is while they may be less than 50 employees, they're still competing with the big box companies that have full-blown benefit plans.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
And with the price almost reaching the point of unaffordability, employers are looking for solutions. And my out-of-the-box thinking is providing a solution. We enrolled a local company, and we were able to save that employer one-third of his budget, which was equal to a little over $100,000 that he was paying prior to working with my agency.
Life Health Dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
A Texan by birth, a patriot by conviction. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, ladies and gentlemen. Texas continues to grow. We lead the nation in jobs added over the last 12 months. Unemployment rate, though, out from the Workforce Commission did go up by a tenth of a point to 4.0 even. But the labor force increased by 64,800 people, which is the largest monthly increase since September of 2020. But since February, so these are the February numbers, since February of 2022, 611,400 jobs were added in Texas for a total of 13.8 million jobs now. The unemployment rate reported today around the state, Abilene 4.1, Amarillo 3.5, Austin area 3.7, Beaumont 6.5, Brownsville, the southern part of the Rio Grande Valley 6.3%. College Station, 3.8%, Corpus Christi, 5.1%, Dallas area, all 4.1% in all three rankings, El Paso, 5.1%, Houston, 4.8%, Killeen area and Temple, 5.3%, Laredo, 4.9%, Longview, 4.8%, Lubbock, under 4% still at 3.9%, the northern part of the Rio Grande Valley, McAllen, Edinburgh, Mission, 6.8%, Midland, 3% even. Odessa, 3.9% even. San Angelo, 4%. San Antonio area, 4.3%. Sherman-Denison, 4.4%. Texarkana, 4.4%. Tyler, 4.3%. Victoria, 4.7%. Waco, 4.5%. And Wichita Falls coming in at 4.5%. All right, my friends, some other headlines. City of Waco expecting 15,000 to attend Trump's rally Saturday. you have to go online and get a ticket, and it's first come, first serve. And they send you an email confirmation that tells you all the stuff. This will be out at the Waco Regional Airport. Weather's supposed to be sunny, breezy, and warm. Temp highs into the upper 70s. Pretty Lubbock-like wind, 10 to 20 miles an hour most of the afternoon. And you got to have those tickets. They'll have parking at 8 a.m. opened, and the event starts at 2. Trump's not even supposed to be there till 5. I just can't do events like that. I just can't waste a whole day standing around. But anyway, there's all kinds of prohibited items, you know, including your firearms and stuff at the event. So don't go to crowds when you can't be armed, because crowds are dangerous things. But anyway, if you go and have a good time. Two WT students have filed a federal lawsuit over the West Texas A&M president's canceling of their drag queen show. KVII reporting on this, and whatever. I mean, I said he was wrong to cancel it. I think he violates state law and state policies that mostly were written to protect conservative events. I just think this whole thing's hilarious. I keep reading more stuff out of it in other outlets, and none of them recognize that the problem with this is their own woke philosophy. Because they always believe that conservative and religious events and things, because it's hate speech. And the president there is a liberal, and he says this drag queen stuff is demeaning to women. He's just applying the full woke philosophy to it. And he's right, because most of these shows are indeed lasciviously sexualized. They're nasty parodies of women. We're not talking about the old British tradition and movie tradition for comedy of a man dressing in women's clothes to hide. That's not what these are about. And they don't get it. And nobody wants to talk about it. This is the point. They have a set of rules for everybody else, but once you apply those rules to them, hate speech, something that demeans others, get this. Okay, well, it doesn't demean Robert. Okay, it's stereotypes. You cannot make the argument that it's not a stereotype. Well, they say that's hate speech all the time. So the whole thing is sort of interesting, but it's extraordinarily telling that even the reporters don't even bother to ask these people that questions. And all these stories I've read, they don't bother to ask them when they interview them. Well, wait a minute. I mean, isn't this, you know, you oppose these things you call hate speech and anything that you say stereotypes, even just simply stereotypes. The homosexual community, you guys call for boycotts and call it hate speech and say it ought to be stopped. But you reject that when your point of view very clearly can be interpreted as the same thing against others. And this is how far the society's gone, and how much of a, not only propaganda in the media, but a loss of intellectual rigor there is of people who write these days. The Democrats in Washington, D.C. prove once again how anti-family and anti-parent and anti-children they are. That's right, the Daily Caller reporting today that in a 213-208 vote, the House of Representatives in Washington approved the Parents' Bill of Rights, which, of course, Biden would never sign if it got through the Senate, which would require school districts simply to annually post their curriculum online, allowing parents to review the materials their children are being exposed to. And parents the schools would have to notify parents of any violence that occurs on campus. Notification. Some states already have those laws. And you got to provide parents with a list of materials students are allowed to access through the school's library. The Democrats voted against this. Oh, also, you got to tell them if their child's having to share a bathroom, locker room, or sports team with people of the opposite biological sex. Democrats en masse voted against that, proving once again that the party is fundamentally anti-God and communist, Marxist. They reject the concept of the family, the nuclear family. They're anti-family, anti-parent, and anti-children, and they prove it over and again. Today in Texas history, my friends, a very important date, or else we wouldn't be Texan in how we know it, in Texas as we know it. March 24th, 1825. All right, 1825, so a little more than a decade before the Revolution. It was this day the Mexican legislature in the newly established Mexico, just independence from Spain, the legislature actually met in Saltillo, which became the capital of Texas in Coahuila. They're near the in the desert part of northern Mexico. The legislature passed the state colonization law March 24, 1824. It was designed to bring people into Coahuila in Texas, encourage farming, ranching, and commerce, a nominal fee. You got land granted and pasture land and all of that stuff. And, of course, this brought in Stephen F. Austin, Green DeWitt, and the other colonies and led to exactly what they wanted, an economic stake finally in this land that was so rough and far away from their cities to settle and use, and it was working. And then later, when you had the political fights there, they turned around the other way and said, you can't bring people in, and that really did give the impetus to the revolution movement in Texas. It's also the day in 1829, the great Texas native Ignacio Zaragoza Seguin was born. That's right, my friends. He is the man, the Texan, who led the Mexican army to defeat the French outside of Puebla. I've been to the battlefield, been to the fort in 1862. That's, when did he do it? 5th of May, Cinco de Mayo. That's the holiday. Born in Texas this day. Our look at Texas history sponsored by USA Investigations, providing employment background checks, security, surveillance, witness interviews and statements, criminal and civil investigations, and more. Learn about the team and investigate for detail at usainvestigations.net. By the way, the last name, of course, we have the famous Juan Seguin fighting for Texas independence. Remember, in the Spanish language, you have that last name. It's not the one you go by. This that the next, the name before that, Zaragoza. It's General Zaragoza we're talking about, because you get the matron and patron. You get the patronymic and the matron name and everything all in your name there. Now, when we come back, my friends, I want to talk about gambling and all the stories and all the people hopping that up on radio, wasting your time about it. And I'll tell you why they're wasting your time in a moment.
Stay in the saddle. Pratt on Texas will be right back.
Warm weather evenings on the patio is a Texas tradition, and no one does it better or more tasty than Las Brisas Southwest Steakhouse. And it's next to a lake with waterfall. You'll have access to comfortable surroundings, great service, premium liquors, beer, cordials, award-winning wine list, and great bar bites food at Las Brisas Southwest Steakhouse all spring, summer, and fall. Meet friends and colleagues and enjoy quality time on the patio by the lake at Las Brisas Southwest Steakhouse. Does your financial advisor take the time to really listen to you? Is your financial strategy personalized for you and your family? Will your financial advisor be there as your life and financial situation change? When you work with Mark Miller, your Big Country Edward Jones financial advisor, he focuses on what's important to you. You'll work together and use an established process to create a personalized financial strategy backed by the advice, tools, and resources to help you reach your goals. And you'll partner to help your strategy stay on track. Contact Mark Miller today, 325-698-5063. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Texas owned and operated for 109 years. Vista Bank has grown 83% in the last 3 years because of our amazing team members and clients. So thank you, West Texas, for your loyalty, trust, and for earning us, Texas's top Main Street lender. Best of community banking, best Bank of Lubbock 3 years running, and best companies to work for. Looking for a local bank? Maybe it's time you make your move. Vista Bank. Entrepreneurs banking entrepreneurs since 1912.
Attention, Big Country property owners. Wildfires are no laughing matter. Have you done all you can to protect your property? Winters Dozer Service is ready to go to work building proper fire breaks to protect your Big Country property. Some counties may have state assistance available, so get with Winters Dozer Service today. Don't wait until it's too late and see your property up in smoke. Get in touch now by visiting wintersdozerservice.com. That's wintersdozerservice.com.
Now a man once declared a registered dead conservative by Rush Limbaugh. Here's your host, Robert Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. I said at the top of the show, I'm going to explain why gambling expansion to casinos in Texas isn't something I've spent a lot of time talking about. I have spent a lot of time about the money being donated to politicians. You need to know about that. And there's some other gambling that matters, but I don't like wasting your time. Other hosts love it. It's the tabloid style deal. Bring out the red meat, wave it in front of you. There's a couple of fine conservatives in this state who have really gained some traction, but all they do are those panic you everyday stories. That's all they do. And, you know, it's good for ratings. The industry says it's good, but I just don't have any respect for it. I don't want to do that to the audience. We have limited, all of us have limited amount of time and energy for stuff like this, and we work against our own purposes. It's what I said before. I don't ask you to call the legislators very often. You need to reserve that stuff for when it matters. But there are a couple of things going on. This issue over legalizing sports gambling, you got all the big professional sports franchises in Texas leaning on legislators to make it legal, even though everybody does it anyway. That's kind of Representative Jeff Leach's point. 35 states have made it legal. Well, a whole bunch of others haven't. People place the bets online on their smartphone and all that, even without it being legal. But what bugs me is you get the typical thing we got back with the lottery under Ann Richards. Oh, it'll bring in so much money. And I love the line in the Austin American Statesman's piece by Ryan Altullo. Tax revenue from lost bets that could be used for education or public safety. Notice that could be. It all goes in the general fund, and it just all grows government. They always try to bring this out to, well, it could go for your schools. It's such bull. Okay, so Representative Leach is backing this. Charlie Guerin of Fort Worth's got a bill, too, to authorize, not, you won't get it. Most of you won't get it, but just eight high-end resort-style casinos, which means politicians will be in charge of handing out the licenses for these places. You get it. It's inherently corrupt. And there's all kinds of stories. The Texas scorecards, Katie Marshall. Texas House lawmakers discuss pro-gambling registration. There's also another one. John Kemple has a bill, HB 2843, creates regulations and oversight for casino gambling in Texas. And they quote the Foley, the vice president of government relations, meaning the chief lobbyist for the casino firm Las Vegas Sands. You know, they've given a huge amount of money. They doled out $2 million to candidates during this cycle, $300,000 to the speaker, Phelan, $225,000 to the lieutenant governor, $200,000 to the governor, and $50,000 to the comptroller, and then tons of state reps. But let me just tell you why this. Now, the sports betting has a much bigger chance of passing. I don't think it should. I don't think it really changes much in the state. The casino thing's a whole other thing, because you're not just going to. First of all, these bills require a constitutional amendment. So you're going to have to get the big supermajority in the House and Senate to even put it on the ballot for a constitutional amendment election. Robert, people will pass it. Yeah, they probably would, but it's not going to pass in the legislature. And this is why I'm not spending a lot of time on it. Now, you got to know that Las Vegas Sands and other gambling interests are dropping massive money into the pockets of even your local state reps. But the fact is, I already knew at the beginning of the session, I guess it's news to some people, that there are not enough votes in the Senate to pass this. I don't even think they could get a majority in the Senate. I don't think the Republican caucus has a majority, even forget enough to make it a constitutional amendment and put that on the ballot. There just aren't the votes there, particularly for the casino gambling. And there are a lot of reasons for that. Creating this, certain destinations only, it's not going to benefit you. It's as far for me to go down to Galveston, Dale, as it is to go to Las Vegas, pretty much. I mean, you know, it's just the kind of thing you ought to stay away from. If the state's going to allow gambling, well, to vote to just allow gambling to be legal and basically have extraordinarily minimal regulation, basically knowing who owns the gambling establishment, and that's pretty much it, and leave it up to, because, you know, people, I don't want to go through all that. I'm just telling you, it's not that big of an issue. The votes aren't there, and the lieutenant governor has said as much, and I already knew this. I already knew the votes weren't there in the Senate, because behind the scenes with that money flying around, people were polling each other. So don't get too worried about it. Now, sometimes we get surprised something can gain traction, but right now the gambling issue is simply, and if you're for it, I'm telling you this both ways, you're wasting your breath. Why don't you? Save your energy. Save your emotional energy and time for things that can matter. Right now, the gambling thing is not going to pass. Maybe the online sports betting, but again, what is that? If you're one of these people that does that, doesn't affect you anyway because you're doing it anyway. There is a good bill out there, a Senate version and a House version that are pretty good. Sidney Henry, writing for the Scorecard, reported on it. that both the House Committee on Judiciary and Civil Jurisprudence and the Senate State Affairs Committee have already heard legislation that ensure local DAs follow state law, because you got these liberal DAs announcing, for example, representing the biggest, some of the biggest areas, that they wouldn't prosecute the killing of babies, illegal abortions. And we know this. This is the kind of thing where the DAs say they won't do a lot of things, you know, not arrest people and not charge people when they've engaged in theft and stuff like that. So Jeff Leach has the House bill, and it's a priority bill, and it's a good bill, I think. And I don't really like recreating state agencies, but we had one from 1977 to 1985, back when the Democrats ran everything. And then they ended it. It went through sunset and went away. Prosecuting Attorneys Coordinating Council. So they just go back and revive this. And it gives that council, though, a singular purpose, which is accept and investigate complaints alleging incompetence or misconduct by elected prosecutors across the state. And CLEAT, the Combined Law Enforcement Association of Texas, is hugely behind both the Senate bill and the House bill. The Senate bill is SB 20. The House bill is, what, I've forgotten the number, 200. House bill 200, and the Senate bill's 20. So you just drop the zero. And Joan Huffman's got the bill in the Senate. She says it's a big thing. CLEAT's in favor of that bill, too. The regular left-wing groups are very much against it. You have a few people say, well, we have elections. Yeah, well, here's the problem. The liberals of the city of Austin or inner city Dallas do not set state law. The state's legislature sets state law. They go apoplectic when they hear people talk about nullification, don't they? Well, y'all are just wanting slavery again, just because the term comes, you know, was heavily used in the Civil War time. They're always against nullification, except like on free speech when it goes to their side. They're all for nullification. They simply will announce, well, I'm elected by the local people. I'm not going to prosecute these crimes. Problem with that is they don't set the law. They're an agent of the state. The counties are subsets of the state. And their job as a district attorney is to prosecute. Now, the law doesn't remove all forms of prosecutorial discretion, but it certainly puts teeth in it for those who adopt these blanket policies, or even statistically you can prove that, you could go after them by saying, well, yeah, but look, you're not prosecuting any of these. Whether you have a policy or not, you can show it. That's a good bill. That's the kind of thing we've got to do to stop from ending up with a state whereby we have state laws, but then we have jurisdictions, local jurisdictions that are lefty that make up, you know, half or more of the state's population, and they effectively, whether on paper or not, have a completely separate set of laws. That's, by the way, what's behind these business regulations, the regulatory rein-in that Dustin Burroughs is pushing through, which is neat, so that companies don't have to comply with, 400 different sets of rules in the state to do business. That is good legislation. Thanks for joining us. Have a good weekend. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.
Hear all the great Texas music Pride on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.